Yeah. Okay, I've done it. Okay. The majority of people are online and watching. There's not many people here. Torahway, Northwest London, Thursday, Beis Teves, Zion Chanukah, the 17th of December. Reb Shlomi Yitzchok Bixen, Shpana Shlita, Inyon Ziyoma.
They say over in the name of the Chasam Sofer, why don't we find the story of Chanukah in the Mishnah? The Chayre, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who compiled the Mishnayos, he lived well over 200 years after the story of Chanukah, and it would make a lot of sense that there should be some mention about the story of Chanukah in the Mishnayos. But Lamaisa, the only place where we find a mention of Chanukah is in the Mishnah Masechtas Bava Kama, where the Mishnah speaks about Nezikin, that if a person goes on the street and he has a camel laden with goods, and some person decided to put a candle on the street, so the person that put the candle is Chayef if he damages the property, because at the end of the day, he has no business putting out a candle in the Rishus HaRavim. However, says the Mishnah, if it's Ner Chanukah, it's Potter, because Ner Chanukah you're supposed to put outside. There's another Mishnah in Masechtas Maase Sheni, in Perek Hei, Mishnah Tezvav, where the Mishnah brings a few dinim from Yochanan Kohen Gadol, in the name of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, certain takonos that he instituted. And according to some of Farshim, this Yochanan Kohen Gadol was from the Chashmonaim. So again, we have a mention in a roundabout way. But clearly to mention the Indian of Chanukah, the Ness of Chanukah, we don't find. So they say over from the Chasam Sofer that the reason is because the Chashmonaim, they were Kohanim. And they had their own Malchus, as the Gemara says. And the Indian of a Malchus outside of Shevet Yehuda is not so straightforward, as we will see. And especially when it came to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who, Rabbi Yehuda Nossi, he was from the lineage of the Nesiim, from Malchus Beis David. So that's why he didn't put it into the Mishnah. Now, the emphasis is, we see this concept in a few places. Just to mention, when it comes on Purim, we have a krovet, which we say by the in Shemoneh Esrei, yes. We say a shtickle by every bracha. There's one bracha that we don't say it by Estzemach David. We don't say anything. So there again, we say the reason is because now we're commemorating and discussing the Malchus of Shaul, the Malchus of Esther, which she came from Shaul HaMelech. So by Estzemach David, we don't say anything because we don't mix the two things. There is a Gemara in Masechtas Horius where the Gemara tells us a fascinating story, which is a Gevaldige Musa Haskel, but it also connects to this Yesoid of the Chasam Sofer, like you asked, that the Chore of Musab Shat, you know, what's the Sharkah? So the Gemara tells us a story. I'm not going to go into all the details, but as they say, to make a long story short, the Gemara brings that there was a certain seder of how they would give honor to the different people with different positions that they had in the times of, this was in the times of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who was one of the Nesiim, and he was approximately in the time of the second Churban Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says that when the Nasi comes in, everyone stands up, the entire Beis Hamikdash. Then you had someone called an Av Beis Din. He had a title of the Av Beis Din. And the Av Beis Din had his, how people stood up for him. Then you had what was called the Chacham. The Chacham had his order of how people would give them covered. Now the Gemara says that at that time, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi, Rabbi Meir was the Chacham, and Rabbi Nosson was the Av Beis Din. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara gives a whole story that Rabbi Meir and Rav Nosson decided that they wanted to sort of, as they would say, you know, but they were upset with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so they wanted to, you know, they wanted to oust him. So what did they do? They decided that they're going to ask him to give them a shiur in Hilchas Uktzim. And they knew that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was not familiar with Hilchas Uktzim. So someone found out about it, and he made sure that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel will know Uktzim. And Take Kachava, they came to Shul and to Beis HaMedrash. He gave them, and he knew to answer because he was prepared. But then the Gemara says that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel decided to punish Rabbi Meir and Rav Nosson, and he threw them out of the Beis HaMedrash. And in the end, the Gemara says how he had some, one did ask Mechila, one didn't ask Mechila. But the point of the Gemara is that the punishment that they got was that Rabbi Meir was known from then on to be called Acherim. Anywhere in Shas where you have Acherim Oimrim, who's Acherim? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Nosson, his punishment was that he was called Yesh Oimrim. Wherever you see Ezek Tazoy, the Yesh Oimrim, who's Yesh Oimrim? Yesh Oimrim is Rabbi Nosson. So this is a story that happened in the time of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now fast forward many, many years later, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, his son was Rav Yudah Nosi. There was a time when Rav Yudah Nosi was teaching his son, he had a son, Rav Shimon, named after his father, and he was teaching him Torah, and he was telling him a Mishnah, Braisa, in Hilchas Temura. And he said, in the name of Acherim, Acherim Oimrim. So this son, Rav Shimon, he asked his father, he says, Tata, I don't understand. We keep on learning, we keep on hearing all these Gevaldiga Halochas, and he's saying Acherim. Who's this Acherim? Why don't you mention his name? Why are you calling him Acherim? That was a question that he asked his father. So his father told him Azoy. He says, you know who these people are? Bnei Adam shebikshu lakar kvoidcha ukvoid beisavicha. These are people that if not for, you know, intervention, I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, because this is what they wanted to do. So this Reb Shimon, the son, said, he brought a pasuk in Mishlei, gam ahavosam, gam sinosam, gam kinosam, kvar ovdo, which means that, you know, people live in this world 70, 80, 90 years, you have a brogues with this one, you don't talk to that one, you don't, you know, everyone has, you know, all these things, you know, life goes on. So he told his father, you know, this is water under the bridge, you're bearing a grudge that's so many years old, you know, time to let go. So, Lamaise, the Gemara says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was a Gvaldiga Onov, so he conceded, so he started saying Rav Meir, but he said, Mishim Rav Meir Omru. So in other words, he used the word Rabbi Meir, but it's Omru, like Mahad Gezokt, Mezuk Noch. But Lamaise, we see in this Gemara that because of something that happened so many years before, where they wanted to undermine the Malchus of Beis David, they mentioned that in an obscure way. So we do see that there is such a concept that, you know, someone that chappers with the lineage, you know, is something that's a problem. Now, the emes is azoi. We do know there is a Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, where the Ramban shtelzach of the pasuk of Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, and he says that the reason why the Chashmonaim were punished, even though he says, he's talking about the first generation of the Chashmonaim, were Gevaldige Tzadikim, they were Chasidei Elyon. So he says that any time that you have a Malchus that's outside of Malchus Beis David, they're Oivrim Al Divrei Hazokein. Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, and they're over on that. And that's why they were punished and the whole Malchus was annihilated. So we do see such a concept. However, the Shverikait on this is as follows. We find in the Torah Akdosha, in Parshas Vezoy Sabrocha, Vahi B'Shir Melech. Who's Vahi B'Shir Melech? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was not from Shevet Yehida. Then you have a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Melochim speaks about how you appoint a king. So the Rambam says, "Eim amidim melech b'tchila el al pi bezin shel shivim zekeinim." You need a full bezin in order to the Bezn of 71 in order to appoint a king. And the Rambam says, Ki Yehoshua Sheminei Moshe Rabbeinu Ubeis Dinoi. Just like Yehoshua, who was a king, and he was appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu Ubeis Dinoi, the same way you always need, in order to appoint a king, you need to have such a situation. So the Shaila is, how could Yehoshua be considered a melech? He's not from Shevet Yehuda. Then you have a Gemara in Masech Tesoita. The Gemara in Masech Tesoita, Daf Chav Zayin, says that every single Shevet had a chance of having a king or a Shofet from his midst. Let's take, for example, Shimshon HaGibber, the famous Shofet. He wasn't from Shevet Yehuda, he was from Shevet Don. Yoshia was from Shevet Ephraim. And so on, you go, every single Shevet had a Shofet or a Melech from their midst. So the question is, how could the Gemara say that if it's considered going against the Inyan of Yaakov Avinu? So, and then let's see one more thing. There's the famous Ramban in Parshas Baal Oischo, where the Ramban explains that when the Torah, Rashi says, Loma Nisvucha Parshas HaNasiyim LeParshas HaNeiris, just like we're going to see tomorrow, we're going to read all the way into Parshas Baal Oischo. What's the connection? So Rashi says, because after the whole Chanukah HaMizbeach, when Aharon saw that not him and not his Shevet were part of the Chanukah, so he had Chalisha Sadas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, don't worry, Shalacha Gedoyle Mishalahem, Sha'ato Madlik Emetiv Esaneris. So the Ramban says that this is a remez to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, that the Yom Tov of Chanukah is going to be through Shevet Aharon, the Kehanim, and that is that was sort of the appeasement for his lack in participation in the Chanukah HaMizbeach. And if you take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Chanukah, where the Rambam gives us the story of what happened, the Rambam says that at what point did the Chashmonaim appoint a king? So the Rambam says that after they went and they were Moisei Nefesh, so the Rambam clearly ties in the Indian of they were Mamid and Melech with the victory. So l'chayre, if the victory was min hashamayim, which it's not shaykh to say otherwise, so oy bazoy, the part that they were Mamid and Melech is part of that. So why is it so terrible that they had a king that wasn't from Malchus Beis Yehuda? But besides that, the other Rishonim, there's a Ram in the Droshes, there's a Rashba, the other Rishonim discuss this inyan at length, and they explain, what does Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda mean? Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, according to the other Rishonim, doesn't mean that there's an Isser to have a Melech from a different Shevet. That's not what it means, because all these malachim that we had, as we said before, the shoiftim and especially Yeshua, all these malachim and shoiftim were, you know, with askam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it would have been something that's against the posuk of Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, which was the tzava of Yaakov Avinu, then, you know, how did that work? So the emesis says the Ran and the Rashba, that Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda means that all these Shvatim, all the Malachim, all the other kings and Shoiftim, their lineage didn't last. In other words, they were king for whatever time period. Some were, the Pasuk says, 40 years, some were even 80 years. It's a long time. But at the end of the day, it's gone. So it's no longer here, and there's no one here to tell the story. Even Shaul HaMelech, he was the first king of Klal Yisrael. And as Rashi in Parshas Vayishlach, when the Pasuk says, Ve'eila ha-melochim ha-shamolchu lefnei melech melech ba'edoim, so Rashi says that we had eight kings, and they had eight kings. So who are the eight kings that we had? The first one was Shaul HaMelech. So Shaul HaMelech is one of our kings. But his lineage didn't continue. Even later, Esther HaMalka was from Shaul HaMelech, but then, you know, it dissipated, it's gone. But Shevet Yehuda is the only one that, even though it didn't always exist, and there wasn't always someone that was the Melech, but when Mashiach will come, who will be the Melech HaMashiach? The Melech HaMashiach will be from Shevet Yehuda. V'lo yikas amim, as at kiyovo shiloi. V'lo yikas amim, as the Pasuk says, but on Yehuda, in Parshas Vayechi, that is the inyan v'lo yoseh Shevet Yehuda, that at the end of the day, his Malchus will come back. And that is the promise of Yaakov Avinu. But to say that there is a problem, b'chlal, of others becoming a king, you can't say that, according to these Rishonim, because we see that this was very much the Ratzon Hashem. So the Ramban is schwer to understand how he learns Pshat in the Leyosu Shevet Miyuda. But again, we're back to trying to understand what was so bad with the whole Indian of the Hashmenoim, with having a king, that the Rabbeinu HaKadosh wouldn't mention that in the Mishnah. So perhaps we can suggest as follows. If we take a look a bit about the history of the Hashmenoim. So the Hashmenoim, as we know, they started at the period of the Nes of Chanukah, as the Rambam says. And the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that their kingdom lasted for 103 years. That's what the Gemara says. There were 206 years from the Nes of Chanukah until the Churban Bayis Sheni. And from those 206, the first 103 were the Hashmonaim were ruling. So how did the story of the Hashmonaim end? So there's the Gemara in Masechtas Baba Basra, where the Gemara brings the story with Hardas. Hardas was the Melech, and he was the one who refurbished the second Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says, "Kol mi sheloiro binyan Hardas, loiro binyan miyomov," because it was so magnificent what he did. And this Hurdus was from the Malchus Beis Hashmenoim. Who was this Hurdus? So the Gemara says, Hurdus was an Eved. He was nothing more than a simple servant from the Beis Hashmenoim. And he decided that he wants to be a Melech. And he heard voices, a baskal, that said that this is the day, today is the day, that whoever is Moirid in will be Matzliach. So he killed out the entire Beis Hashmonaim. There was one daughter that was left, Miriam was her name, and according to the Gemara, she jumped off the roof, and before she jumped, she said, "I want everyone to know that whoever comes and claims that he is a descendant of Beis Hashmonaim, he should know that he's only an Eved, because I'm the only one left over, and that's going to end very soon, and there were no children," and that's what the Gemara says. Now, what did the 103 years look like? So, there's a few Gemaras that we have about the Malchus Beis Hashmonaim, the Malchei Hashmonaim. One Gemara is in Masechtas Kiddushin. The Gemara in Masechtas Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vav, brings a story about Yanai HaMelech. Who was this Yanai HaMelech? So Rashi says Yanai HaMelech was a king from the Hashmonaim. And the Gemara gives a whole story. Bottom line is, a Gevorim Balaidikt, and he allowed himself to be, you know, Matma Angeret, that he should kill out all the Chachom. And that's what he did. He literally went on a rampage, and the person that was trying to incite him told him, "Ruim some, kill them out, just kill them out." And there was only one Tana left, Reb Shimon ben Shotach, who happened to be his brother-in-law, and his wife, the Malka, she saved this Reb Shimon ben Shotach, and that's a story in the Gemara in Kedusha. Now, the story about Yanai HaMelech, there's other stories. There's the Gemara in Brochas, where the Gemara says about Yanai HaMelech, he needed someone to bench for him. But Lamaisa, he killed out all the Chachomim. Then you have another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Soita. It's a Gemara in other places as well. But the Gemara says as well, Tana Rabbonon, Kishetzaru Malchei Beis Hashmonaim Ze Al Ze. So Rashi says, what was the story? Rashi says, Shnei Achim, there were two brothers, Shehoyu Miskoitetin Al Hamalucha, they were fighting over the throne of this Malchus Beis Hashmonaim. One was Hyrcanus, and one was Aristobulus. Now, these are not very Jewish-sounding names, but there was a very strong influence from the Greeks at that time. So these are Greek names, and they were descendants, they were Kohanim, descendants of Hashmonaim. So the Gemara says, what was the story? So there was a siege that was laid by one of them. Harkonnes was mebechutz, Aristobulus was mebefnim, and there was a siege that was laid on Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, b'chal yoyim v'yoyim, hoyo mishal shalim dindrim b'kupa umam emahem tamidim. They didn't have animals in the Yerushalayim. So what they did was, they sent out in a basket a bag of coins every morning, and instead of the coins, they received two sheep to be able to be mekayim as akeves echod tasev aboiker, but akeves hasheni tasev einu arbaim. And this went on for a while, until there was a zaken echod, says the Gemara, that told them that you're wasting your time. Kol zman sha'uskim ba'avoida einim sarim be'yetchem. You're trying to lay a siege. You're not going to achieve anything. So the Gemara says, "Lamochar shil shulu lahem dinrim bekupa." They did the same thing. The helu lahem chazir. Instead of sheep, they sent up a chazir. Kim shegi alachatzi choima. No at tziparnov. The tziparnov, that's the symbol of the kusher chazir pisul. So it was noyed the tziparnov into the choima. Nizdaz the Eretz Yisrael arba meyasparsa. The whole Eretz Yisrael shook to the core. And the Gemara says that Oysa Sha'omru or Adam Shigad Chazerim, etc. Now, the question here is, what's going on here? You have here kings that are descendants of Malchus Beis Hashmonai. Now, two brothers fighting, not so uncommon. Two brothers fighting over Kisei Malucha, also not so uncommon. But how did this whole Malucha start? In other words, there are two types of ways of how a king becomes a king. One of them is, which has happened throughout history many, many times, you have people living in an area, and there's another nation or another group of people that are trying to to conquer them. So you have a gibor, he comes, and he conquers, he's matzliach. So people will appoint him as their king. I mean, you go through, why was George Washington the first American president? Because he was the general that helped them win the war with the British. And the same happened all throughout history, all the ages, that whoever was Matzliach, people felt, he should become the king. We don't have to go too far. What do we have in this week's parasha? When Yosef Atzadi, he came out of prison, and he was a nobody, and all of a sudden he became the Mishnah Lamelech. Why? Because Paro said, you're talking about all kinds of different ideas. Who should I appoint? Who should be that person? If you're the one who's able to pull that off, so you're the right person to do that. So that is something which makes sense. Then you have, sometimes you have that it's not him, it's his great-grandfather, great-grandfather. In other words, he's Yoirish, the Indian of Malucha. So, these Hashmenoim, as the Rambam says, when did they start their Malchus? The Rambam is very clear that when they were able to pull off the Gevaldige victory with Siyata Dishmaya, Hamidu Melech Menakoyanim, because, they deserve to be king. Now, once it started, so there was succession and so on. But the problem was that these successors, they forgot where it all started. To kill out all the Chachomim, that's so against the whole Yisoid of the Indian of why the Hashmonaim became king. The Hashmonaim didn't become king because they were dictators, because they wanted their own covet. In other words, this Yanai HaMelech, what was he choshesh on? He was choshesh on his own covet. He was choshesh on something. So that's why he killed out the Chachamim. That's totally against what the Hashmonaim stood for. What was the whole Nekud of the Hashmonaim? The whole Nekud of the Hashmonaim was, they were moisten nefesh for the covet of Ribbono Shel Olam. Because they felt that even though we had a Beis HaMikdash, we lived in Yerushalayim, but we weren't in charge, we couldn't do the Avodah properly. The Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah that the Yevonim used the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah, and when the Hashmonaim came, they dismantled the whole Mizbeach, they put it away, and there was a special Lishcha where these stones stood for, till the Churban, and they built a new Mizbeach. That's the inner, the Chanukah Samizbeah. And Bechlal, the whole Matorah, the whole Metzias of this Chashmonoim was to bring back the Kovod Hashem. Now, it didn't take long, and the successors totally forgot what the whole Yesoid of the Malchus Beis Chashmonoim were. And the same thing with these two brothers. These two brothers, what were they fighting about? They were fighting about their own Kovod. They were fighting about their own honor. This one wanted the throne, this one wanted the crown, and this was what the fight was all about. Now, when you fight about these things, you totally forget about the Iker, and you're focusing on total Narishkeit. So that is why Rabbeinu HaKadosh didn't want to put in the story of Chanukah. In other words, when it came to Halochas, the Halochim Baba Kama, which is Halocha, or it came to this memory of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Abba, they put it into the Mishnah. Because he wasn't going to allow that dinim halacha should be forgotten because of in private interests or whatever it may be. But when it came to the story of Chanukah, leider, this is a fact. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, the story of Chanukah is something that even those that are totally secular and mahal gunish, but that's something that they take pride in. Because they somehow associate the koichi va'oitzim yodi, which is nebuch very rampant, they associate with the story of Chanukah. And there's a very big danger that if you can use such a story in a very wrong way, without focusing on the right message. And that is what Rabbeinu HaKadosh didn't want. Rabbeinu HaKadosh didn't want that if you have the story of Chanukah in the Mishnah, people might take it and misconstrue it and use it in a way which is not in the Torah-ic way. You know, the word Maccabi, right, is something which they use a lot, the non-religious. But they forget that what's the Rosh HaTevas of Maccabi? Micha Moicha Ba'elim Hashem. And in their way of using Maccabi, everything is there besides the Hashem. There's no Hashem there, and that is the whole problem. And this is why, because when people see such a thing, people, there's a certain pride that develops, we were able to conquer. But they don't understand that this whole story of Chanukah, according to what Rashi says in Parshas Vezoi Sabrocha, Rashi says, how many people were how many numbers, the Chashmonoim, how many people were they? Rashi says they were 13 people. Now, we say, Masarti Giborim Biad Chaloshim, Rabim Biad Ma'atim. Rabim Biad Ma'atim would be that the Russian army versus the Chinese army. So one has, 3 million, one has 2.5 million. So it's Rabim Biyad Ma'atim. But when you're talking about the Greek army was considered the most sophisticated, the most modernized army at that time, with the biggest arms and the strongest arms and the most sophisticated arms. And what are you talking about? You're talking about 13 people. We wouldn't even call it an army. We wouldn't even call it, it's not even Ma'atim. It's basically a suicide mission. But they did it anyway. Why did they do it? Because they were Moisen Nefesh to restore the Kovod of the Rebbe Einstein. They didn't have any ulterior motive, because there's not even an ounce of a person's own interest that shaykh to have here when you do such a thing. So all they wanted was the Kovod of the Shechinah, the Kovod of the Beis Hamikdash, the Kovod of the Avodah. That was their whole Metzias. So Avada, when there was the victory, so it follows that there's a Malchus. But if later the Malchus deteriorates in such a way that this whole concept is totally forgotten, and there's nothing left, Ad Kedei Kach, that they can take all the Chachamim and kill them out, or they can do such a thing, who was the one who was Mishal Shul the Chazir? It was one of the brothers, right? In other words, the Malchus Beis Chashmonoi, who their grandparents, they were Moisei Nefesh for the Avodah, they go and they send up a Chazir to be Makrev in the Beis Hamikdash. There's something very wrong. And that is why they were annihilated. Because once it reached that point, then there was nothing left, and no remnant of what it stood for. And the MS is, according to the historians, this Miriam, who was the daughter, of one of the two, of Hyrcanus or Aristobulus. That's what they bring down, the historians. So basically, this story of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus was mamish the last straw that broke the camel's back, and right after that, there was nothing left of Malchei Beis Chashmonai. But this explains why Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who his whole Matorah was the Kedusha Shavoi, he didn't want to mention something which might be misconstrued, and that's why he left out the story, but he only kept the halachas. But the message for us is very strong. What we have to do is that we have to focus on what Chanukah teaches us, on what the Yom Tov of Chanukah is. You know, on Chanukah, we're already, you know, it's already the seventh day, but you know, on Chanukah, Baruch Hashem, we eat donuts and we have latkes. But there's one thing which sometimes people forget. The main takana of Chanukah was Lahoides Alahalim. As the Achronim say, that there's no din of Mishta V'Simcha, there's a din in Lahoides Alahalim. Now, how much time do people spend on Lahoides Alahalim throughout the 24 period of Chanukah? So it depends on which minyan you daven, right? If you daven in the first minyan, then, you know, if you have 120 seconds, then you're lucky. You daven the next minyan, so it takes a few minutes longer. But we spend well under 10 minutes a day to do Lahoides Alahalim. It doesn't make sense. The whole day, the whole Metzias of Chanukah is the, you know, Lahoides Alahalim, and we spend it on so many other things. It's not like, you know, we don't spend the time. We spend the time with mezitz, with the kinder, the einiklech, and you know, we do whatever we do on Chanukah. But let's not forget, you know, we're in the forest. Let's not forget to see the trees. You know, the Metzias is that this is what Chanukah is all about. So by understanding what the Chashmonaim stood for and what they were Moisen Nefesh for, and we, Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to daven and to learn and to be Ovedes Hashem. But let us appreciate what they were trying to accomplish, and let us do it with a gewaldig chizik and Bezes Hashem. In that, Zechus will be zoicha to all the brachos on the earth.